For I've had enough of this world and its pleasures. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Father. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah, house of my Yah.
Shalom, and welcome to today's teaching on the Hebraic roots of Christianity, where we study first century Christianity and the faith that Jesus, whose Hebrew name is Yeshua, which means salvation, taught his disciples. And now, Hebraic roots teacher Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries International.
Shalom, I'm Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries, and we welcome you to today's teaching on the subject, The Principles of the Greater Exodus. This is part 6 of the series.
What we're seeing from what we've covered is that biblical history is prophecy, that the things and the events that happened in the lives of the forefathers are prophecies of what happens to their descendants. What happens in the history of the nation of Israel is a prophecy of what will happen to future generations of the nation of Israel. And so given that we are seeking to understand the principles or the way in which the greater Exodus, that is the gathering uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel by the Messiah and the end of days at his second coming, how that is going to come about, the God of Israel has already instructed us how that is going to happen through understanding the way in which he communicates to us in his Torah, wherein the lives of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the lives of Joseph, and the things that happen with Moses going to Pharaoh with the instruction to let the children of Israel leave Egypt and thus enable the God of Israel to perform the work of redemption. These things are not just historical, but they are instruction. They are prophetic as well. That the God of Israel teaches us his Torah through patterns and principles. The tabernacle was built according to the pattern, Exodus 25 verses 8 and 9, and the temple of the Messianic era is instructed to be built according to the pattern, Ezekiel chapter 43 verses 10 through 12. So we're looking at detailed examples of these principles and patterns. We looked at Abraham and his life. We looked at Jacob's encounter with Esau. We looked at Joseph and the dreams that he had that his brothers would bow before him. And now we're in the process of looking at the events and the things that are associated with Moses being instructed by the messenger of the Lord, which we shared with you, is Yeshua, in that he also made covenant with Abraham, the instruction that he's given to Pharaoh to let his people go. That in the instruction, Moses is told to tell the elders of Israel that the God of Israel is going to visit them. Well, these are the words that Joseph told his brothers at the end of Genesis chapter 50, that the God of Israel is going to fulfill his covenant promise made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's going to visit them, and when he does, bring them out of Egypt to take his bones with them. And so the way in which these events happen are going to be teaching and instruction for us in the end of days to understand the way in which Yeshua the Messiah is going to gather and unite the exiles of Israel from the nations of the world where they've been scattered. Paul explained in Romans 15 verse 4 that the things that happened in time past in the nation of Israel is for our instruction and our learning. Paul explained in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 11 that the things that happened to the nation of Israel was for our example, was for our instruction that we can see through the patterns and the principles by which it was done, that it would give us comfort. And it's for us who are living in the end of the ages, because this is the work of the Messiah at his second coming to gather and unite the 12 tribes of Israel. So we saw that Isaac was born at Passover. And this is a prophecy that the children of Israel were going to be redeemed out of Egypt at Passover. This is a prophecy that the beginning of the greater Exodus, when the Messiah is going to gather and unite the 12 tribes of Israel from the lands that they've been scattered, it's going to be inaugurated and take place at Passover. Yeshua's first coming was the beginning of the process of the fullness of the redemption of his people that was promised in the covenants that was made with the nation of Israel. So when did Yeshua die at his first coming? At Passover. And so Yeshua said in Luke chapter 19, verse 41, that at his first coming at Passover, his people did not know the time of the visitation. And so Yeshua died on the tree at his first coming at Passover. So he's going to accomplish and bring about the end of the exile of his people and the nations of the world where they've been scattered, and unite northern kingdom and southern kingdom, bring the two sticks together and make them one. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 15 through 28 at Passover. And so when Yeshua wept that his people didn't know the time of the visitation from Luke chapter 19, he wept for Jerusalem in verse 41, but he laments that they did not know the time of their visitation in verse 44. That Passover is the time or the season of the redemption. And so Isaac was born at Passover when she was visited by the God of Israel. And the birth of Isaac was miraculous. In the natural, her womb was dead. She couldn't have children anymore. Well, that is a prophecy that the birth of biblical Zion, which is a term for the end of the exile of the 12 tribes of Israel, where they will be united and Messiah will rule and reign over them, that this is going to happen miraculously as well. When Sarah was delivered from Pharaoh's authority, when Abraham and Sarah went to Egypt on account of the famine in the land of Canaan, we see that the God of Israel plagued Pharaoh. Well, that was a prophecy that when Jacob and his family went to Egypt and they were ultimately in the fullness of time oppressed and was in bondage in Egypt, that Pharaoh in Egypt was plagued by 10 plagues. Well, that's a prophecy that in the end of the exile, in the end of days, and the greater exodus that will come about, that the nations of the world are going to get plagued. The nations of the world are going to be judged. And so the birth of Isaac is a prophecy of the birth of Zion. And so the last thing that we went over is that the redemption is associated with the names of Joseph and Isaac. That Joseph in Hebrew is Yosef. The Hebrew word for again or a second time in Hebrew is Yosef, from which we get Yosef. It's the same letters in Hebrew. So Yosef means again or a second time or will be added. And so the God of Israel is going to again in Isaiah chapter 11:11 redeem his people from the nations of the world where they've been scattered. And Psalm 126, when he gathers the exiles of Israel, when he redeems Zion, our mouth was filled with laughter, Isaac. So what we're going to do is we're going to continue showing you the patterns and the principles that will give us the comfort and the assurance about the greater exodus and how it's going to happen. And this is exactly what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, that we might have comfort from the scriptures, as well as Romans chapter 15, verse 4. So now we're going to look at Exodus in chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, where here we're told that when Moses went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go, Pharaoh said no. He said, I will not let the children of Israel go. And they shall hearken to your voice, and you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and you will say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us, and now let us go, we beseech you, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Verse 19, I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. In other words, he will only do it through a mighty hand. And so now the instruction that we get through this is Pharaoh's the king of Egypt. And so Pharaoh is going to be a type. He's going to be a prophecy of the king of Babylon. He's going to be a prophecy of Hasatan himself. So we're going to see the connection, the association of Pharaoh to Hasatan, because it's the nations of the world and their kings and rulers and leaders, and Babylon is the head of nations, but it's ultimately Hasatan himself who desires to keep the nation of Israel in captivity, thus try to prevent the bringing about of the redemption. Ezekiel chapter 29 verse 3, speak and say, thus says the Lord God, I am against you, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great dragon that lies in the midst of his rivers. So Pharaoh is called, or he's likened to a great dragon. And this is the Strong's number 8577 in the Strong's Hebrew dictionary. And the Hebrew word that's translated as dragon is tanin. So Pharaoh is a great tanin. Well, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, it says the great dragon, tanin, was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. Pharaoh's called a great dragon. Satan, or Hasatan, the adversary, is called a great dragon. So Pharaoh is a type of Hasatan. Pharaoh is likened to the sea monster creature, Leviathan. Psalm 74, verses 12 through 14. For God is my king of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. You did divide the sea by your strength. You broke the heads, plural, of the dragons, tanin, in the waters. You broke the heads, plural, of Leviathan. So now, this tanin in the waters, who has many heads, is referred to as Leviathan. Well, in Ezekiel chapter 29, verse 3, Pharaoh is called a great dragon. Pharaoh is called a tanin. And so Leviathan is called a dragon or a tanin in Psalm 74, verse 13, who has many heads. Thus, we have in Revelation 13, verse 1, that a beast rises up out of the sea having seven heads. So literally, the beast would be, or likened to, Leviathan. A beast is an enemy of Israel who puts Israel in bondage. And so in the end of days, there's an enemy of Israel who wants to put and keep Israel in bondage, being exiled in the nations of the world. And just like Leviathan has many heads, this beast has many heads. So Pharaoh is not only a type of Hasatan, but he's also a type of the false Messiah. Once again, Pharaoh, he will not let the children of Israel go. And it's said of Pharaoh, he doesn't know the God of Israel. He doesn't know Yahweh. Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a festival, a feast unto me in the wilderness. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Pharaoh didn't know the God of Israel. He didn't know Yahweh. Well, redemption is knowing Yahweh. Redemption is when his people, the nation of Israel, knows Yahweh. Redemption is when the nations know who Yahweh is. Redemption is when Pharaoh knows who Yahweh is. Exodus chapter 7 verse 5. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. Exodus chapter 7 verse 17. Thus says the Lord, in this you will know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in my hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. Exodus chapter 8 verse 22. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that they may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Now the Hebrew word for know is yada. It means to know intimately, or we could understand it this way. Yada means to know experientially, not just know intellectually, but to know through experience, by what actually happens in your life. And so this is what's being said. Pharaoh is going to experience knowing Yahweh. The children of Israel are going to experience knowing Yahweh. Exodus chapter 14 verse 4. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon his host, that the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord, and they did so. That he will be honored. You see, the shame that is upon the God of Israel is when his people are in captivity, when they're not following his Torah. But when he redeems them, he's going to be honored in the sight of his people and in the sight of the nations. Exodus chapter 14 verse 18. And the Egyptians will know experientially that I am the Lord when I've gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. So this is the phraseology and the children of Israel being redeemed from Egypt, that Pharaoh in Egypt will know the Lord. Well, in the future, in the redemption of his people from the nations of the world, in the greater Exodus, we see from the defeat of Gog and Magog in Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39, wherein we see in Ezekiel chapter 38 verse 18, it will come to pass at that time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, that my fury will come up in my face, and I will plead against him, Gog, with pestilence and with blood, and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. And so just as the God of Israel had to plead with Pharaoh with plagues, we see he's pleading with Gog, the enemy who brings an assembly of nations against the mountains of Israel in the end of days in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And just as he plagued Pharaoh with pestilence and hailstones, he's going to plead with Gog with pestilence and hailstones and fire and brimstone. And just as honor was brought to his name when he plagued Pharaoh and redeemed his people from Egypt, Ezekiel 38 verse 23, thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they will know that I am the Lord. Now we continue in Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 1. Son of man, prophesy against Gog. Verse 6. I will send a fire on Magog, and they will know that I am the Lord. Verse 7. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel. See, he's making himself known to his people. He's making himself known among many nations. And I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Continuing on in Ezekiel 39 verse 21. I will set my glory among the nations, and all the nations, or the heathen, will see my judgment that I have executed and my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel will know that I am the Lord their God from that day forward. Verse 25. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob and have mercy on the whole house of Israel, and I will be jealous for my holy name. So once he plagued Pharaoh with 10 plagues, he brought his people out of Egypt. And so once he plagues Gog in the land of Magog, he says, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob. And when he brought his people out, his people knew that he was the Lord. Pharaoh in Egypt knew that he was the Lord. Now in Ezekiel 39:28, then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen, but I've gathered them into their own land, and I have left none of them any more there. So, redemption, and the principle of redemption, is knowing Yahweh. It's His people knowing Yahweh, and all nations knowing Yahweh. But who is the one that appeared to Moses at the burning bush that says, I am Yahweh. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was the messenger of Yahweh. It was Yeshua. So redemption is knowing Yahweh. Redemption is His people and the nations knowing the Holy One of Israel, knowing Yeshua is the Messiah. So Yeshua prayed this prayer in John chapter 17, verse 21, verse 23, that they all may be one. Who's He's praying to be one? The northern kingdom and southern kingdom to be one. Because He's dying to take two sheepfolds and make them one, as He Himself said in John chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. He's dying to take two nations who are the children of God scattered abroad and make them one, as Caiaphas prophesied in John chapter 11, verses 49 through 52. So Yeshua's prayer is that there be the end of the exile of His people, because He's the one that made covenant with Abraham. He's the one that appeared to Moses at the burning bush. He's the one that gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. And they broke the covenant that He made with them, and they broke and they departed from following His Torah. So they got scattered into the nations of the world, and He that scattered Israel will gather him as a shepherd does his flock. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 10. Yeshua is the good shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 11 and verse 14. So Yeshua is praying for His kingdom to come to earth, that He will rule and reign over His people from Jerusalem, teaching the Torah to all nations, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3. So He's praying that they all may be one, as You, Father, are in Me, and I in You, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that You sent Me. So redemption is that the world would believe, but when they're one, that they will appoint themselves one head. Hosea chapter 1, verse 11. His people, the 12 tribes of Israel, will appoint themselves one head. They will believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, and the world will believe that Yeshua was sent to bring redemption to Israel and to the world for all those who will repent of their sins and accept Yeshua as their Savior and Lord, and His shed blood forgives them from their sins when they repent. John 17, verse 23, I in them and You in Me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world will know that You sent Me and love them as You have loved Me. Now, another principle of redemption, another principle that was, that is, a prophecy of the greater Exodus, is redemption is making a distinction between Israel and those that are not Israel. Making a distinction between Israel and Egypt. Making a distinction between Israel, the sons of Zion, and the nations. Exodus chapter 8, verse 22. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which My people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Exodus chapter 9, verse 4. And the Lord will sever or make a distinction between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. Why is He making the distinction? And there shall nothing die of all that is the children of Israel. Exodus 9, 6. And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died, but of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. We can see the principle of redemption, that He makes a distinction between His people who He redeems that trusts on Him and those who don't, Egypt or the nations of the world. Exodus chapter 10, verse 23. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Exodus chapter 11, verses 6 and 7. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more.
Well, that's going to conclude part 6 of the series on the subject, the principles of the greater Exodus. Shalom in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
Thank you, Eddie. This is Stephen Morgan, and all of us here at Hebraic Heritage Ministries pray that you have enjoyed today's teaching. If you've been blessed, will you help us to share this message with others? Hebraic Heritage Ministries is supported by your generous financial gifts. In order to help you in your studies and to help us share this message with others, we are offering today the DVD, Yeshua, the Lawgiver, for free for a love gift of any amount to the ministry. Hebraic Heritage Ministries also offers a monthly discipleship program. If you are interested in starting a fellowship group in your area, let us know. We would like to help you. Please contact us for more details. Our website is hebroots.org. That's HEBROOTS.ORG. We would like to hear from you. Please send us an email. Finally, in order to take advantage of today's free offer, please mention this product offer and please mail your love gift to Hebraic Heritage Ministries, P.O. Box 81, Strasburg, that's Strasburg, Ohio, 44680. Until next time, may Yeshua richly bless you.